after having spent the last few weeks living in the resurrection appearances that Jesus made to his disciples, we seem to have backtracked. Do you recognize this gospel reading? We read it only a few weeks ago on the day that we call Maundy Thursday, the evening when Jesus and his disciples gathered together in an upper room to share a meal, that evening before Jesus was handed over to be crucified, handed over to death. If you knew that you were about to die, what would you tell the people that you love? What last urgent piece of advice would you offer? Here in our gospel reading this week, Jesus is answering this difficult question. Judas has left the Last Supper in order to betray Jesus. And Jesus knows that his disciples are about to face the greatest devastation of their lives, the loss of their friend and leader, the man upon whom they'd placed their hopes, their dreams, and their future. So Jesus gets right to the point. He doesn't tell them one of those parables or stories that they always seem to have trouble understanding. He gives them one commandment, one simple, straightforward commandment, summarizing Jesus' deepest desire for his followers. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. And then a follow-up, a promise, or maybe a warning. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If you have love for one another. It's interesting what Jesus doesn't say. He doesn't say, believe the right things. He doesn't say, worship like this, or go to that church. He doesn't say, read your Bible, pray every day. He says, love one another. That's it. The last dream of a man heading to his death. All of his teachings distilled down into one sentence so that maybe it's short enough for us to hear and remember. Love one another. What's staggering about this commandment is how badly we've managed to botch it over the last 2,000 years. Now, Jesus didn't put any qualifiers on it, but somehow over the years, humanity has thought that we should. It's only a matter of years before Jesus' friends, the ones who walked with him physically here on earth, are debating who that commandment includes. One of the biggest debates of the early church was just that. Were Gentiles included in God's promise, included in God's love for humanity? One school of thought said that Jesus came only for the Judean people, and if the Gentiles wanted in, they needed to convert and be circumcised. The other school of thought said, nope, it's for everyone, circumcised or not. Peter belonged to that former group. Yes, he'd been with Jesus when he gave water to a Samaritan woman at a well and told her that she was included in God's promise of living water that gives everlasting life. And yes, he'd been with Jesus in Syria when a Syrophoenician woman and her child were included in God's promise. But somehow, Peter must have still thought that there were restrictions, conditions on inclusion. And it was those conditions that were challenged one day in Joppa. Having been called to Joppa to support the small community of people who followed the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, Peter was staying with Simon the Tanner when he had a strange dream. Now, different people place different weights on their dreams. Some write them off as strange workings of the mind while we sleep. Others spend considerable amounts of time trying to understand their meaning and their impact on their lives. Whatever the importance we place on our dreams, I suspect that if we, like Peter, had the same dream 3 times in a row, we'd pay attention. Because Peter has this dream, a dream of all the things that he's been told his whole life are unclean, the things he's been told are immoral and to be avoided by a good religious person like himself. And as Peter is recoiling from these things, God tells him to reconsider. God tells him that nothing God has made is unclean or profane. It's all holy. And then, in case Peter didn't catch the message the first time, he has the same dream 2 more times in a row. What God has made clean, you must not call profane. I imagine Peter would have been shaken by this vision, as the implications would have rocked him to the core. But it doesn't sound like there was time for reflection, because as the visions are ending, a knock comes on the door, and Peter's asked to the home of someone who doesn't belong, to the home of some uncircumcised people. And as Peter is visiting this family, the Holy Spirit makes herself known, and Peter realizes that his vision had been talking about scenarios just like this. Peter realizes that his vision was God letting him know that all of God's people are included in God's family, that everything God has made is clean, worthy of inclusion, and worthy of love. And to Peter's credit, he goes with it. He recognizes the Spirit and recognizes that he had better not get in the way of the Spirit, in the way of God's love. I wonder if he also remembered that last supper they'd had with Jesus, sitting around the table in Jerusalem, where Jesus issued that final command to his disciples before he was led away to death. Love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. He might have remembered it, because what Peter lives out there is the embodiment of that command. Love one another. No conditions, no restrictions. Not, I'll love you if you clean up your act or if you change your lifestyle. Just love one another. Because God hasn't put conditions or exclusions on membership in the body of Christ. Everyone's in, and everyone is equally loved just as we are. Those who we might have grown up thinking that good religious people avoided, God tells Peter, are actually as much a part of the family as you or I. It means everyone, every girl, every woman, boy, man, and intersex person, every lesbian, gay man, bisexual, and transgender person, every atheist, agnostic, and religious person, every Muslim, Christian, Jew, Buddhist, Hindu, Wiccan, or pagan person, every person of ability and of perceived limitations, every person of any nationality, ethnicity, or racial construction, every indigenous person or settler, every person of any income, ability, and economic ability, and even all of those people who defy and explode all of our categories. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, said Jesus. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In the words of Bishop Michael Curry, in his sermon preached at a wedding 1 year ago today, there's power in love. There's power in love to help and heal when nothing else can. There's power in love to lift up and liberate when nothing else will. There's power in love to show us the way to live. May God's love always show us the way. Amen.